Welcome to Jesus Experience. You are designed to receive from God the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. And through the life of Christ in you, you will live and affect the world around you. Now, here is Dr. Gary V. Whetstone.
So Jesus has to show up Himself. Now, do you think that Jesus could still show up Himself? Or do we have to make a religion out of Him? And Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger. Behold my hands, and reach here thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said unto Him, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." Look in verse 30. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book." Look over here in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. "The former treatise which I have made, O Theopolis," which is a book of Luke, "of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Everybody say began. So the book of Acts is a story about Jesus finishing up some of his doings and teachings. It is not a story about what he finished, it is about what he is continuing. "Until the day after that which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive, after his passion," everybody say it aloud, "by many infallible proofs." Everybody say many. Infallible. Proofs. Why did Jesus have to produce infallible proofs? Because they didn't believe. Now, I know this is, we don't like to talk about unbelief in the church. But do you know one of the greatest reasons why we don't believe is because we haven't experienced it? Because we like to believe, but we want to experience what we're going to believe in. And then when we don't experience what we believe in, then we kind of get disillusioned. And when you get disillusioned, you become disoriented, and you start looking to something else to believe in. You start to find a system. You start to identify a form. You start to build an allegiance to a identity of something that is, but it really isn't the same as the real. You know, Israel did the same thing. As soon as Moses left them, they went and they had to build an image, the golden calf, because they needed something to say, "That is like our God." You see, the church is no different today. We have to find something to say it's like our God. It's not really our God. We know that, but it's like our God. And that's how church is to many of us. It's like our God, but it's not really God. Because if it really was God, our lives would be different every time we met Him. I had an experience as I was in Tanzania, which I think is very, very significant. For 3 hours, I was on my face on the platform in front of 20,000 ministers just crying. 3 hours. I don't know if you ever just cried for a long time in front of people, and they're wondering what's wrong with you. I really didn't care. I was meeting Jesus. He and I were hanging out for about 3 hours. I couldn't do anything but cry. After 3 hours, I got up. The whole platform was on their face. There wasn't an apostle, there wasn't a bishop, there wasn't a pastor, there wasn't anybody anywhere that was still standing. Because Jesus walked into the meeting. And when he walked into the meeting, that which we didn't expect showed up. And a lot of people don't know how to act when what they don't expect shows up. Because they don't know what he's going to do when he shows up. They don't know why he's come. It was very interesting. We had this Catholic bishop on the platform. And when the Spirit of God showed up, he gets slain in the Spirit for 2 hours. Yes. 2 hours. Now, you might say, well, why would God do something with a Catholic bishop? Well, why not? He's God. He showed up. It's his meeting. You see, we don't understand sometimes when we come together, we do not expect God. Jesus brought infallible proofs of his power. being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And when they therefore were come together, he asked of them, saying, Lord, will you now restore, is it time to restore again the kingdom to Israel? I mean, these guys, they're always looking for political position. Instantly. I mean, as soon as Jesus comes back from the dead, they're trying to vie for his position and status again. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but this is what you'll get. You'll get the power. You shall receive power. Now the church gets tongues. Jesus gave power. There's a little difference here. We have substituted the power for praying in tongues. Oh, I believe everybody needs to pray in tongues. But when you substitute the power of God for praying in tongues, you ask somebody, are you Pentecostal? They go, sure. Well, that's not a Pentecostal. Show me the power. I did. No. You're praying in tongues. The power of God and praying in tongues are two different things. Demonstrate that you've got what Jesus promised you. The power of God. Show me! You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, or demonstrate the proof of me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now these guys went out, and they started preaching. Mark 16, verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, and as they were preaching, Jesus decided who he was going to work with. Now, as they were preaching, everywhere, the Lord doing what? Working with them. Confirming the word with what? Signs following. Everybody say, producing the proof. If disciples who gave up everything, family, lifestyle, businesses, to follow Jesus for 3 years, and he dies, and they do not believe, and it requires the visible evidence of Jesus to convince them, how much more do we, who were not with Jesus in the flesh, did not handle the word of life, did not see the Son of God, how much more do we need Jesus in his power to prove to us he is alive? Amen. The teachings that we've had have said, well, Jesus did that to establish the church, but now men are intelligent, they don't need Jesus to show himself alive anymore. And then here is Jesus 2,000 years later. Don't you think that he wants to prove that he is who he said he is even more now than then? Yes. Because now there are 5.5 billion people on the earth that will go to hell if they don't believe in him. And now there are more people alive than have ever lived and died in all the generations ever put together. And now we are at a time where Jesus has spoken and declared, literally it's been 2,000 years. Don't you think he's here to show himself for who he is? The only thing that'll make him what he's not is man's religion, nullifying the word of God, which we've already read. Something has been stolen from us. The gospel. The good news. The good news is my risen Savior is here now. The good news is he's not just simply here, he's here in his power. The good news is the same Jesus that God rose from the dead is the same Jesus I preach today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The good news is he has not diminished. He is the same. The good news is he knows how to take an unbelieving community and make himself so known that they have to believe in him. The good news is he knows how to deal with a nation. He knows how to talk to your kids. He knows how to show up in your living room. He knows how to get the doubt-ridden wife of yours. He knows how to get to the husband that's on drugs and crack. He knows how to reach them. He knows them. He's alive. But somewhere along the line, that's not our expectancy. But I guarantee you, Jesus hasn't changed. Acts chapter 2, verse 31. After Peter is standing up, talking about the day of Pentecost, He says, and he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all what? Witnesses. A witness is somebody who has firsthand evidence of what they have seen, touched, handled, felt, smelt, and experienced. He said, we saw him for 40 days. We put our hand in his fingers. We put our hand in his side. We watched him eat, go through walls. We saw him. And this came from him. This spirit that you're experiencing came from him. Wherefore, being at the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. Oh, this got everybody upset. When Peter preached, he didn't preach about Jesus. It wasn't the gospel about the power of God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 2, it says, and when Peter was preaching, they being grieved that they taught the people, and they preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Everybody say through. Through. Not about. How many of you ever heard messages about God? How many know that there's a message that's through God? Big difference. A message about God simply disseminates him as being somebody in the third person. The message of through God is the same as he is, as he was, as he always will be, right here in the midst of us. That in him there is life. In him there is nothing that is lacking. In him is the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily. In him is all things that pertain to life and godliness. Of him are you in Christ. Of him are... And all of a sudden, something starts happening to us. And we come out of the understanding about, and we step into the understanding of in. Yes. We learn not about him, but we learn from him. We don't learn to remember or think about Jesus. We now get his mind. We now receive from his thoughts. We now have our being in him. In him we move and live and have our being. We find ourselves not talking about, but speaking through the resurrection from the dead, Jesus himself. Where he is not a distanced third person. He is in the first person here. The I am who said he is and would be whatever it is that we would ever need him to be. And he would be that right here in the now as we are. So is he in this world, because as he is, so are we in this world. And you say, well, I don't know about him. I know that he's there. I believe he's there. This has nothing to do with believing he's there. This has to do with him proving that he's there. He proves himself to unbelievers. Is he who he said he is? Is he? If he is, then prove it, Jesus. Show yourself. Reveal yourself. Uncover yourself. You are the most excellent discoverer to the unbeliever, so show your risen power to an unbelieving generation. You say, but I wouldn't be so bold as to ever come to God and have demands on his presence in that way. But if you know him, then you know him. But if you know about him, then you never expect anything from him. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Listen to how they prayed when Peter and John were forbidden to preach or teach anymore in the name Jesus. After Peter walks up to the man that was laying from his mother's womb. Now, you have to realize, Peter walked by this man every day. How many of y'all remember that story? How often did Peter walk by him? Some of you aren't convinced. Look back over here with me. Let me show you in the scripture. It'll help you. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all men as every man has need. And they continuing how long? Everybody say daily. With one accord in the temple. Everybody say daily in the temple. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together at the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lean from his mother's womb, who was carried, whom they laid when? Daily. At the great gate of the temple. Look at your neighbor and say, verse 46 says they went daily. And look at your neighbor and say, verse 2 says he was laid daily. So every day they walked by their own crippled man. Every day they brought that crippled man, they laid him right at the temple of the entrance to the gate, and every day Peter and John walked by him. Day after day after day after day after day after day after day. Every day the church walked by this miracle ready to rise. Every day. You know, you've been walking by some miracles every day. You know, you've been, but you never found out what you had yet. Then all of a sudden, Peter and John walked by there. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us!" And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." What did he have? He had the power of God. From who?
Jesus.
When was the power of God there? Right then. It wasn't in the third person. He was in the first person. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping, praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful day of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement for that which had happened to him. Why? Because every day they walked by this man. Some of us are walking by situations day in and day out, and the only reason they haven't changed is because we don't know what we got. All of a sudden they ask him, "Well, how did you get this man healed?" And he says, verse 13, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to be let go." He's not talking about what they did. He's talking about who Jesus is. He says, "But you denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the King of life, whom God raised up from the dead, and from him we are witnesses." Now you got to understand something. They're asking, "How did this man get healed?" And they're saying, "Jesus is alive." Amen. As a matter of fact, it was his name. It was through faith in his name that made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith, which is, underline the next word, everybody say it, by him. Now if something is by somebody else, that means it is theirs. The faith that got that man healed was not Peter's faith, it was Jesus' faith. Why? Because Jesus was alive. Yes. So something happens in the spiritual context that we're dealing with where we see Jesus, the risen Lord, in the first person being declared the Son of God, alive from the dead with power. We don't see him being talked about, we see him being unveiled. And then they get to praying in Acts chapter 4. I'll tell you one thing in the spirit. I've watched many false religions birth and many false gospels be declared. But I've only seen Jesus be the only true gospel demonstrator.
Thank you for listening to this Jesus Experience teaching with Dr. Gary V. Whetstone. We want to connect with you at your Jesus Experience. Please visit our website, JesusExperience.com, where you can view our complete teaching archives, enroll in our free School of Biblical Studies, watch live services, and communicate with us. You can connect with Jesus Experience on Facebook and Twitter, or if you prefer, please call us at 1-302-561-6800. That's 1-302-561-6800. Share with us as we share with you.